WFXX.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority. Woo-hoo! WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox Faith College.
It is time for a wildly wonderful, or is it a wonderfully wild, Wednesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's Jeff Byers, it's Scott Giese, and hey, it could be you. Yes, you could be on the radio.
Oh my God.
Today.
Wow.
If you give us a ring at 814-954-7266.
All right, more W words. Wow, wacky, wet. Okay. For today, I think the word wet. All right, not hugely wet. Folks, today is not a solar energy day. All right, just saying.
Not
a solar energy day.
Be darned.
If you've got those panels on your roof or out in your yard or whatever, you are probably not doing a whole lot today. Although when I checked weather when I first got up this morning, once again, the heavy stuff, if you will, went north of us. Actually, I would say almost north of Lock Haven. Kind of just whoop up to the northern tier, and most of the heavy stuff totally missed us. Now, we got some light stuff, and we're probably going to get some today. If you're at the Grange Fair, yeah, today is probably a good day maybe for a jacket. You might need your umbrella, maybe. All right, so we'll cover more of that in a bit. First off, we got a great show today. We have some open line time, lots of things to talk about, sportsy stuff, of course. Coming up at 9 o'clock, I've been looking forward to this one for a couple of weeks. We're going to be talking with Caroline Mell. Caroline is the co-founder of a group called the Constructive Dialogue Institute. And I kind of came across these folks a number of weeks ago, and I just thought, oh, that's a cool group. I'd actually like to work with that group. That's pretty cool. And what they do is they try to foster constructive dialogue primarily on college campuses. And we happen to have one of those. It's kind of right over there.
All right? That's good, because I keep trying to talk to these stupid idiots, and they won't listen to me. I'm trying to explain to them the way it should be, and they just don't seem to get it through their thick skulls.
Can you save that for an
maybe
hour?
She'll be able to help.
Save that for an hour and use that on Caroline.
Help these people understand what it is I'm trying to explain to them.
Caroline will either laugh or hang up the phone.
Huh?
I'm not sure which one she'll do. This could be interesting. So, folks, stay tuned. We're going to find out what this group does. I want to ask. I didn't ask her. Do you guys do anything at Penn State? All right. I honestly did not ask her that. I kind of reached out on a whim. I'm thinking, oh, these folks won't get back to me. And Caroline, who's a co-founder of the group, gets right back to me like, yeah, let's do a show. I'm like, cool. All right. Constructive dialogue. Yeah, we're going to get a definition of what that is.
Here's a hint. What you just heard about 2 minutes ago is not what they're talking about.
What?
I'm just saying.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm just saying. All right. So, very interesting conversation. And with the fall semester at Penn State starting, well, here in a few days, people starting to move back into town and all that, you know, stuff, this is a timely topic. So we're going to talk with Caroline coming up at 9 o'clock. All right, some things here. I'm mad. Oh, I am so angry.
No, don't be angry.
I'm angry.
Oh, no.
All right. I don't understand. All right. So yesterday after the show was over, I had to bolt because I had to drive downstate where I was helping somebody moving stuff. Okay. And so I get down there and we rent a U-Haul. All right, you know, it's a big truck. Not a big truck, actually. We go and we're moving stuff, and we get stuff on the truck and so on. And then I drive the truck back here because we were dropping some stuff off at the house. And so we do all that. All right, my wife and I, we're getting all that stuff done. And I look at the watch. I'm like, yes, let's return the truck now instead of today. I wanted to get the truck gone.
Get it out of
there.
All
right. So luckily, just under the wire, you know, we drive back into State College, and there's that place on the Benner Pike. And so we stop there, and we catch the owner or the manager just in time before he closes up. And I'm like, here's our truck. Okay, we got everything we need. Thank you very much. And so then my wife does something amazing. She says, hey, I'll spring for dinner. I'm like, whoa.
Now we're talking.
Wow, okay. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute. I look at my watch, and I'm like, it's Tuesday. Benner Pike Tuesday. Oh, let's go.
What could it be?
And so we go down to Quaker Steak and Lube because I'm thinking, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. I'm going to catch the Goon and Ironhead show. Oh, this is great.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, this is wonderful. So we drive down there, and we enter the restaurant. Free plug for them, all right? Enter the restaurant. Nice young lady shows us to our table. And, oh, my gosh, the table is like right in front of the Goon and Ironhead set.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking, oh, this
There's
is great. We're
going to
have some food. I haven't had wings since I can't remember one. I've got some wings.
Since back in the day.
And we're
going to
sit back and enjoy the Goon and Ironhead show. And so we sit down and I'm like, okay, where's the show? And there's nothing there. There's nobody there.
Where could it be?
You want to tell me? I went all that way to see the Goon and Ironhead show and there's nothing there.
Our show is from 2 to 4.
Well, it was 7 o'clock. Who cares? You should have still been there.
Like we should have hung. Like, actually, there are days where... Now, the Dear Goon is a little laid up at the moment, so he was... we were having some technical issues at the station, so I don't think it aired on the station yesterday. And we were having some technical issues. We're getting dropouts all of the sudden. At Quaker Steak and Lube, so I think we're having some sort of a connection issue there. We're working to resolve that. But anyway, normally, of course, the Goon is with me in person. He was not, yesterday. He is, battling through some health issues right now. So he joined, via Zoom. And so, he is the one, more often than not, I have something with the kiddo that I'm either running to pick him up or running to meet him or whatever. So occasionally, rarely, I will be able to hang around a little while after the show as well. The Dear Goon, I would say about as often as not, will stick around and have an adult beverage or two. And probably there have been occasions where even at 7 o'clock you could find the Dear Goon still hanging out in the bar. But yesterday was not one of those days.
What a disappointment.
You missed it. You missed it by that much.
Maybe about that much. So we're sitting there. We enjoyed the food. I'm watching the Pirates getting shellacked by Toronto.
Oh,
and I'm thinking, okay.
Mitch Keller. Come on.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was a rough,
it's like I
rough
was
out.
This close to live.
Almost.
Goon and Ironhead show. Man. Oh, anyway. Next time. All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
All right.
Moving on.
All right, Grange Fair today is day 6 of 9. Hey, come on. If you haven't been to the fair yet, time's starting to run out. Yeah, don't let the rain scare you off, for goodness sake.
The rain always scares me.
No, don't do that. Just, you know, like, wear a jacket, probably take an umbrella.
Could get wet.
It's going to be kind of a here-there thing, all right? Again, the heavier stuff, I guess overnight, went north of us again, you know, kind of missed us again. So anyway, all right, so there's that. All right, let's see what else do we have. Now, if you listened yesterday, our friend Dr. Chris Palma, Penn State astronomy professor, joined us. We had a very interesting discussion about the space aliens kind of flying by and waving at us, and how do we know there's life on other planets, really, when we can't even see them, and all that sort of really good stuff. All right, check our website. All right, 987thefox.info. Go to the Let's Talk interview section. If you want to hear that interview with Dr. Palma, we posted it. There it is, and you can listen to it. This is interesting. I just saw the James Webb Telescope. All right, this is Scott. I'm the space geek. All right, I just think that stuff's really cool. James Webb Telescope is amazing. It's a million miles beyond the, it's beyond the moon. It's a million miles away, parked in this special spot. All right, where it needs to be parked in this really special spot, where I guess, I don't know, it's totally dark and so on. And so they have the full realm of the cosmos, this big, giant, it's sort of a dish, not really a dish, like pieces put together so it looks like a dish. And so it can look into the cosmos and see amazing things, and it's done that so far. Apparently, recently, it turned its telescope toward Uranus. Yes, Uranus, not the other pronunciation.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sure.
Remember we asked Dr. Palmer yesterday, we said there's this Planet Nine, this mysterious planet out on the edge of our solar system that people for years have believed there's something out there. There's something out there, but for some reason we can't find it. All right? For goodness sakes, we found little Pluto. All right, back in the, what was that, 1930s, I think that was. All right, Ironhead's favorite planet, which isn't. All right, little Pluto.
Yeah, poor Pluto.
But somewhere there's a Planet Nine, and allegedly some people have found it, but now they have to confirm that maybe they've found it. And I asked Dr. Palma, well, you know, who gets to name these things? Well, the person or group, I guess, that discovered something. You, if you can prove you discovered it, then you get to name it. All right? I don't know. Maybe Uranus needs a different name. We need to change the name.
Might not be a bad idea.
For all the people that mispronounce Uranus, we really need to change the name. But apparently the Webb Telescope has found another moon orbiting Uranus. All right. Now, this moon is interesting. It's only 6 miles wide. Now, that is like tiny, 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 tiny.
That is a wide moon on Uranus. What? Was that out loud?
Could we rename the poor planet? Oh, for goodness. The people who live on Uranus cannot be happy.
That's got to be tough.
About the name of the planet.
Be,
right.
Yeah, not an easy, but not the, an easy thing to
this
do.
This Webb telescope is so good that it picked up a six mile wide moon. Again, from millions of miles away, 6 miles wide is you found it? So they found it. And interesting, I did not know. Uranus now has 29 moons. I had no idea Uranus had 29 moons. See, we're spoiled.
I think that's how many moons we had on our junior high football bus, if I'm remembering right. I think it was 29 exactly.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. All right, so anyway, the Webb telescope, excuse me, is just phenomenal. It's great. Let's see. Dr. Palma said, if you do a web search for Penn State stargazing, it'll come to their website. Where, again, this fall, once again, probably, he said, always on Friday nights, you go on campus to Davy Lab. I'm absolutely doing this sometime this fall. And they do stargazing on Friday nights. They have their telescopes there. And he said something about Saturn will be very visible at some point this fall. I'm like, ooh, I definitely want to see that. So check out that stuff. Pretty cool stuff. All right, let's do this. Not to pick on Walmart, but this is a weird story that I came across last night. The Food and Drug Administration. Now, this may be some of you, okay? Food and Drug Administration has done a recall for Great Value frozen shrimp products. Now, Great Value is a Walmart, like a store brand, okay? Frozen shrimp products. Now, if you have that in your freezer, there's a recall on right now, and it sounds like you really should, I guess, take this back to Walmart. Apparently, recently, some containers arrived at 4 U.S. ports from Indonesia. So the shrimp are Indonesian, I guess. And the shrimp tests positive for cesium-137.
See, I don't know. I think, you could take it back, or you could take your chance. There is an opportunity here that you could become Shrimp Man. The newest superhero for Marvel. Yes. I could see this developing into a superhero
or shrimp gal
movie. Okay. Or yes, I'm sorry, or shrimp gal. Woman.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, cesium-137 is a radioactive isotope, and somehow these frozen shrimp, I guess, are radioactive. So, yes, if you know the Spider-Man story, all right, Peter Parker is his name, right? Peter Parker gets bitten by a radioactive spider, and then, woo, he can climb buildings and do all sorts of wild stuff.
That's right.
Now, what shrimp man would...
All of a sudden, you can magically appear at all of the swanky galas throughout town and say hi to everybody. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what shrimp man
superpowers would shrimp man have?
Well, I think you just show up at the galas.
That's it?
You're automatically at all of the galas.
Do you look like a shrimp or something? Or
I think that's what it would be,
I'm not sure. A shrimper. I like shrimp. I love eating shrimp. That's great. They're kind of ugly. I don't know if I want to eat a shrimp or look like a shrimp.
I want to eat a shrimp.
I don't know. Look like a shrimp. So maybe later on we'll have some open line time. If you can think of a superpower for either Shrimp Man or Shrimp Gal, call us in and let us know what the superpower would be.
It'd be better if you could be Jumbo Shrimp Man than just,
Now there, you might be onto something there, okay?
I'm not exactly. I'm trying to think through what the
Jumbo
the superpower could possibly be. But
Jumbo Shrimp Man.
Uh-huh.
Folks, again, we need a superpower. What would Jumbo Shrimp Gal, what would, Jumbo Shrimp Gal. Okay, let's move on. This is getting barely bad. Let's see. For you frequent flyers out there.
Yeah.
Now, would you be a frequent flyer like during wrestling season?
I think I'm a somewhat frequent flyer.
Really?
I don't think I would quite... I think I'm on the periphery, at least in the winter months.
See, I've done flying for business in the past, but I was never a frequent flyer.
I don't think I would quite...
I would maybe fly
get to that
three
level.
Or four times a year. That was about it. I don't know. I guess a frequent flyer. There are some people like every 2 weeks they're on a plane somewhere.
Yeah.
That would be a frequent flyer.
Yeah.
You get those miles and earn things and so on. So the TSA, Transportation Security Administration, has come out with these new. They're calling them e-gates. E-gates, and they're using biometric technology, where I guess they scan your face. And so they use facial recognition, and the idea here is how can we make checking in for an airline flight faster? All right, if you've done any flying, well, any time really, but recently, of course, when you get to the airport, you got to get in line, or you got to go through that scanning machine. But the first thing you have to do is there's a TSA person sitting there, and you have to show them your ID, like your driver's license, and then you have to show them your boarding ticket. All right. And then the person looks it over, and then they look at you, and then they look it over, and then they look at you, and then they pretty much say, okay, you can go ahead, which is slow and tedious, right? Slow and tedious.
Mm-hmm.
Could we pick up the pace here? I just want to get on a plane. Well, now they're going to have these e-gates where essentially you sign up for this facial recognition. So they have to scan your face or something. I saw a picture of this. I'm a Sam's Club member, okay? I got a Sam's Club card over across town. And when you leave, you buy your stuff at the Sam's Club. When you leave, you walk through this, portal, if you will, and I guess everything you have in your cart is quickly scanned to make sure, yep, he actually bought all those things. And it used to be there would be a person at the exit, and they're still there, where they would look at your cart. Okay, what did you buy? Okay, you got your receipt. Okay, you can go ahead. Now they've got this walkthrough thing, which is great, and it's pretty fast. And now the person at the exit pretty much just says, thank you for coming. Come again. And you leave. That's what these e-gates apparently are like. You walk through this portal. And assuming you are who you are, you pretty much just keep on walking.
What if I'm not who I am?
Well, then you've got a problem. Then a big burly person comes over and has some words with you.
Oh, boy.
All right? So, no, you don't want to do that.
Here we go.
So this new system is being tested right now. It's being tested in D.C., so I'm assuming that's Dulles. It's being tested in Georgia. I'm assuming that's Atlanta, Hartsfield. And it's being tested, well, it says D.C. and Washington. I think that's the same thing, unless it's Washington, Seattle, or something like that. So they're testing this thing out. Now, in order to use it, all right, again, if you're a frequent traveler, you can pay a few extra dollars and get in that so-called pre-check program. And the whole idea with pre-check is, could you please let me just go faster through this line
yeah.
so I can get to my plane? Well, that's what this E-Gates thing sort of is. You're going to have to pay some dollars, not a lot. I don't know. I'm trying to think what pre-check is. Like $70, I think you have to pay for a pre-check, and then pretty much you walk through. That's what this E-Gates thing is. So no idea when or if this thing will come to State College Airport. If this thing works, I assume they'd like to roll it out to every airport. All right, so keep an eye on that. And I mean, they've already announced, you don't have to take your shoes off anymore, right? Oh, thank you very much. For all these years, I've thought that was so unbelievably annoying. And I'm thinking, okay, do my feet smell? All right, can I leave my shoes on?
Well,
now you can leave your shoes on. But get ready for E-Gates. Now, will some people have a problem? They've got to scan your face, so they've got you in the system. I know that's going to freak some people out, like, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, okay, you don't have to, I guess, but at least, you know, until they do a complete switch over to E-Gates, you're going to have to go into the slow line. Now, maybe you don't have a problem with the slow line. At State College, let's be honest, not much of a line, all right? But if you go to Dulles or Philadelphia or pick a major airport, Charlotte, Orlando, LaGuardia, BWI, Dulles, anything, some of those lines can get pretty long for certain flights at certain times of the day. And you're standing there like, I wish I could just walk to my gate. Well, hopefully soon you'll be able to do that. So there you go, you frequent flyers. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk some sports. Did watch a little League action there while I was munching on wings and waiting for the Gooden Ironhead show to, like, start.
Uh-huh.
All right, that didn't happen last night. So we'll talk some sports. We'll have some open line time. Again, constructive dialogue. Oh, please save that diatribe for Caroline. Please save that. We want to just test it out on her to see what her reaction is, and hopefully she doesn't hang up the phone. All right, you're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go away. Oh, no. We will be right back.
98.7 The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
It's Grange Fair season, and Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is bringing the hot deals to the fair. Stop by our booth and explore our full lineup of hot spring spas, built for comfort, performance, and year-round relaxation. During the Grange Fair only, save up to $1,000 on select models. Plus, get 50% off accessories like cover lifts, handrails, and ozones. Every tub includes a free cover and step, so you're soaking in serious value. Visit Clearwater at the Grange Fair and bring comfort and relaxation to your very own backyard.
Hey, you! Why aren't you helping hang this drywall? Because I'm the plumber.
How am I supposed to know that?
See? It's right here on my shirt.
Oh, yeah. Now I see it. It's hard to tell who works for me and who doesn't.
I had that problem, too, until I had company shirts printed. Now, it's not a problem.
That's just what I need. Where did you get your shirts printed?
Pamp. They did a great job, and now I can spot my employees right away.
Hey, Joe!
What?
Call Pamp and get those shirts printed for the crew ASAP.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized T-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a wet Wednesday,
yeah, a little
edition.
Bit. Yep.
Jeff and Scott with you. Some open phone time coming up, but we take a check of sports here. Lots to get to on a busy little middle of the week day. Penn State senior quarterback Drew Aller has been named to the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award watch list. This will be the 39th year that the Golden Arm Award recognizes excellence both on and off the field. The award will be presented in December by the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Educational Foundation, and will go to the player the quarterback who best promotes character, leadership, and academic achievement, along with outstanding performance on the football field. All five wrestlers with Penn State ties have earned medals at the 20U World Freestyle Wrestling Championships. P.J. Duke won gold, William Hankel won silver, and both Connor Mirasola and Cole Mirasola took bronze, the Mirasolas becoming the first brothers to both medal for the under-20 U.S. team. Since 1973, that is when both Jimmy Carr and Joe Carr won medals, Jimmy taking gold and Joe silver. So very cool accomplishment there for the Mirasolas. Duke won his title by defeating Alexander Gadarly of Moldova 7-5 in the finals. Hankel rallied from an 8-2 deficit in the gold medal match, but eventually fell to Mahdi Youssefi Hajivar of Iran, 8-6 in the 79 kilos finals. Connor Mirasola won his bronze with a 10-0 tech fall over Anar Jafarli of Azerbaijan at 92 kilos. Cole Marisola taking bronze at 125 kilos with a 12-0 tech fall over Narantolga Darmazabazar.
If you say so.
Something like that. Okay. Of Mongolia.
All right.
Incoming freshman Marcus Blaze will be wrestling for gold today. Blaze has blazed his way to the gold medal match. Three wins by tech fall. The other, he basically stalled his opponent out. Too many cautions against his opponent, and so he won on cautions. Blaze winning in the semifinals over an opponent from Russia, 15-4. He will face Iran's Hora Katari in the gold medal match at 61 kilos. That action will get underway at 11 o'clock this morning. The United States will be bringing back 8 medals in all, tying for second most for our country at the 20 under worlds. In addition to the 5 Penn State medal winners, Lehigh sophomore-to-be Luke Stanich won gold at 65 kilos. Justin Rademacher, the sophomore-to-be at Oregon State, took gold at 97 kilos. And Max McAnally, the sophomore to be for Minnesota, will be wrestling for gold today at 86 kilos. The United States will win the team championship, easily outdistancing Kazakhstan and Iran, which are currently second and third, respectively. Former Penn State women's soccer midfielder Olivia Smith has been named the Women's Professional Footballers Association Player of the Year. The 21-year-old joined London club Arsenal in a women's soccer world record transfer of £1 million on a 4-year deal. Smith spent her freshman year at Penn State and scored a goal and an assist. She then left the program after 2022 to sign her first professional contract with the North Toronto Nitros. Former Penn State men's hockey forward Danny Danaev has signed with the Idaho Steelheads of the ECHL. That announcement being made yesterday. Danaev spent 4 seasons at Penn State and recorded 93 points, 34 goals, and 59 assists over his 146 games with the Nittany Lions, helping Penn State to a couple of NCAA tournament appearances, including its first-ever trip to the Frozen Four last year. Of course, the Nittany Lions have their sights set on winning the national title in the upcoming season. That season will get underway on Friday, October 3rd, against Arizona State in a 9 o'clock Eastern Time face-off. Penn State men's basketball's non-conference schedule is coming together, nearly complete now. We learned yesterday that the Nittany Lions will take on North Carolina Central on December 29th at the Jordan Center. North Carolina Central making that announcement earlier this week with their schedule now being released. It'll be the first meeting in the history of the two schools. North Carolina Central plays in the MEAC and finished 14-19 last season, going 6-8 in conference play. So we now have 7 confirmed non-conference games for the Nittany Lions, so 4 still waiting to be announced. Penn State will take on Pitt on Sunday, December 21st in Hershey. And Penn State will have its home opener against Fairfield on Wednesday, November 3rd. The Nittany Lions will visit New Haven on November 8th. We'll host Boston University and Harvard as part of a multi-team event. The Nittany Lions will also have a neutral site game with the Hall of Fame showcase on Monday, November 22nd against Providence. Penn State baseball has released its fall schedule. The Nittany Lions will be hosting 3 opponents at Medlar Field. at Lebrano Park. They'll open up September 26th against Villanova in a 5 o'clock start. The Nittany Lions will host Team Ontario on Friday, October 10th at 5, and Penn State will entertain Bucknell on Friday, October 17th. That game will also get underway at 5 o'clock. Nittany Lions under Mike Gambino finished this past season with a 33-23 record. Second most wins in Penn State history in a single season, the Nittany Lions reaching the 30-win mark for the first time since 2011. At the Little League World Series in South Williamsport yesterday, four teams were eliminated from the field. Japan shutting out Mexico 6-0 and Aruba defeating Canada 6-1 in international action. On the American side of the bracket, South Carolina took down Hawaii 3-0 and South Dakota pulled away late for a 9-0 victory over Washington. Today's schedule has Chinese Taipei, which has just some sensational pitching, taking on Venezuela at 1 o'clock. The winner will advance to the international championship game. And then Connecticut and Nevada will play at 3, with the winner going to the U.S. championship game. The losers of those respective games will still be alive in the tournament. None of those four teams have lost yet in the tournament. Two more elimination games will follow this afternoon. Japan and Aruba will play at 5 o'clock, and then South Dakota and South Carolina will meet at 7 o'clock, and the winners will advance to the championship games in their respective brackets as well, or the semifinals, I guess it would technically be. The State College Spikes held off the Williamsport Crosscutters for an 8-7 win last night. The Spikes scored four runs in the seventh, three coming on a Jaden Kalora double. The Spikes added two more in the eighth. Williamsport rallied in the top of the ninth with four runs, but the Spikes hold on for the 8-7 victory. Kalora finished the night going 3-for-3 with three RBI. Skyler Reidlinger threw 1 2/3 scoreless innings to get the win for State College. Spikes will again host the Crosscutters this evening in a 6:35 start at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. The Pirates lost to the Blue Jays 7-3 last night. Mitch Keller took the loss, giving up five earned runs in 3 1/3 innings. Max Scherzer, the newcomer for Toronto. This kid, he's got potential, Geezy.
Yeah.
He got the win for the Blue Jays. He held the Bucs to one earned run over six innings. Alejandro Kirk drove in three to lead the Blue Jays offense. Ronnie Simon, Jack Sawinski, and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa each had an RBI for Pittsburgh. The teams will play the rubber game of that series at 12:35 this afternoon at PNC Park. Airtime is set for 12:10 here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. The Phillies again topped the Mariners last night 6-4. The Mariners tied the game at 4 with a 3-run seventh, but the Phillies answered with a 2-run homer from JT Realmuto in the eighth, and the Phillies get the 6-4 victory. Christopher Sanchez tied a career high with 12 strikeouts, but got a no decision. Realmuto finished the night going 2-for-3 with 3 RBI. The Phillies will look for the sweep against Seattle this afternoon in a 1-0-5 start at Citizens Bank Park. The Phillies now lead the Mets by 5.5 games atop the National League East. Pittsburgh Steelers getting ready for their preseason finale against the Carolina Panthers tomorrow. Head coach Mike Tomlin announcing that at the very least, the Steelers will have Aaron Rodgers, T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, we already knew that, and DK Metcalf not participating in the preseason finale. All of the other players are expected to see at least a few snaps, according to Mike Tomlin, in tomorrow night's preseason contest.
Yeah, Thursday, not Saturday. Yes. Thursday.
No, tomorrow night. And that, boys and girls, is what we like to call sports.
All right, some other quick notes. My Orioles beat the Bo Sox again 4-3 last night. 11. They almost blew it. They gave a two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth. I'm like, oh, come on. They scored one in the 11th, and they won. So, yay, Orioles. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, let's play our favorite game, Quiz the Ironhead. All right. In what town is North Carolina Central University?
Oh, that's down there in North Carolina. One of the towns.
Or city.
North Carolina town.
Yes, it's a North Carolina town. Yeah. Which one?
Good old... I have no idea. I can't even pull one out of my Rocky Mount.
No. That is a town in North Carolina, though, so you got that right.
It's one of my favorite towns in North Carolina, actually.
It's in Durham.
Is it really?
Now, across town, there's another school. Yeah, it's called Duke.
I'll be darned.
Now, Duke gets all the attention in Durham, but across town is North Carolina Central. Actually, I was just thinking, it's like a triangle down there in North Carolina.
It is.
It's amazing how many big universities are in that rather tight zone. North Carolina, NC State, Duke, North Carolina Central. Wake Forest is somewhere there, and some other schools too. It's incredible how many major schools are in this tight little zone.
Now I'm gonna have to look up because you got me wondering. I'm wondering where North Carolina Greensboro. I'm gonna start looking up all.
Look it up on your laptop there. All right. Now Pat Kraft, Penn State Athletic Director, kind of held court. I guess this was yesterday. And he revealed how many seats are there at the new, sort of.
They're not losing nearly
Beaver
as many
Stadium.
As I thought. I thought they were losing a couple more thousand than what they are.
What
I knew it wasn't going to be a ton, but I thought it was more than like 1,000.
That's what we were led to
about
believe.
What is going to be. Yeah.
We were told it was going to be sort of, not a significant drop, but a drop. I mean, I think some of us thought, well, they're not going to have 100,000. Oh, my gosh. Which, okay, big deal. Actually, according to Pat Kraft, 106,304. Now, that's like 100 less than what it was before. That's it. Now, again, you got these temporary stands. All right. And, again, this is getting a lot of chatter. The temporary stands. So people, I think, are already nervous about these stands. And apparently, somebody asked him about it, all right? And he made a comment. First, he said there have been on social media a lot of so-called memes about these stands. Like, okay, you know, watch out. But his comment is, quote, this is a quote, "It is safe. It's been looked at. It's been inspected." Folks, the stands are fine. I saw a social media clip yesterday. They took some of the Penn State offensive linemen, in other words, big guys, up into the stands, this new section.
And it collapsed.
No.
And now they've got to rebuild it in just less than 2 weeks.
But there's pictures of these guys. I mean, they're like pushing on the stands, or they're like beating on the stands or something. Folks, they're fine.
Yes.
Okay? Yes, a week or two ago, they looked rather spindly. But in actuality, they're perfectly fine. And actually, now they look really good. Like, these are temporary? I mean, these almost look like they could be permanent. They won't be because they have more work to do and things to add and, you know, all this sort of stuff, okay? And again, that's the weird thing with this whole situation. They're going to start the season here in a week, all right? And they're going to play a bunch of home games. Let's see, the last home game is November 22nd against Nebraska. And then the assumption is, okay, they're going to get in the playoff. Okay, they're going to have a home game, at least, I don't know, one or something. And that would be in December sometime. And then once all of that is over, apparently these temporary stands are going to come down, I guess, so that they can continue working to do whatever it is they want to do. And then apparently for next season, a year from now, the whole job will still not be done. And so I guess what? They're going to put them back up? The temporary stands, they're going to put them back up for next season. And then when that's over, I guess They're going to take them down again so they can finish the job in 2027. That just seems weird, doesn't it? That just seems really weird. So let's, one step at a time, all right, let's see how this goes. Pretty much the same population of Beaver Stadium as we're used to, and the stands are fine. All right? They're going to be, although I bet you for that first game with Nevada at 3:30, I'm trying to think. Who's carrying that game? Is that Big Ten Network? No, it's Fox. Is it FS1?
I think that's
FS1,
right.
Fox Sports Channel, FS1. Yeah. If you watch it, well, record it on television if you like go to the game or something like that. How many times are they going to turn their TV cameras? Okay, let's take a look here. Okay, nobody's falling down. All right, that's very good. I want to see how many times that they just turn the cameras up to that upper section. Well, it's still there. Okay, yuck, yuck, yuck. Folks, it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
First game is CBS.
CBS.
Yeah, CBS has Nevada. Then Big Ten Network has Florida International, and FS1 has Villanova.
Okay, all right. CBS. So the over-under will be, how many times will CBS turn their cameras to that upper deck section? I'm going to say once per quarter, so I'm going to say four.
Yeah.
All right, four times.
Seems like a good over-under on that.
So they get to the fourth quarter, and hopefully Penn State's like way ahead, and they're looking for things to fill airtime. Let's see if the stands are still there. Yes, they are! Folks, I'm telling you, watch this in a week. I'm telling you, then you get back to me like, yep, Scott, you nailed it. Okay, over under four. All right, four. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. We'll have a little open line time. 9 o'clock again, very interesting guest as we talk about constructive dialogue, which I love doing. My partner here, please don't scare away our guest.
No, I believe in it, too. It's just that the stupid idiots on the other side aren't listening very well when I'm explaining to them what their position should be. They just seem, because they're the idiots they are, they can't seem to get it through their thick skulls what they should be thinking. Hopefully she'll be able to talk some common sense into these knuckleheads.
Folks, this is must-hear radio, so stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Hey, honey. What you doing?
Getting the camping gear ready to go. Got the tent, air mattress, sleeping bags.
Hey, babe. I was thinking.
Oh, boy.
Don't you want me to be a happy camper?
Sure. Happy wife, happy life.
It's time to look at campers. I mean, let's just check them out. Let's go to Bill's Happy Campers in Mill Hall. Bill's Happy Campers has a great selection of new and used campers. I mean, they have great names like Catalina, the Legacy Edition, Trailblazer, Summit, Cedar Creek, Riverstone.
Sounds like you've already checked out Bill's Happy Campers.
I have. Look at their website, billshappycampers.com.
Wow, they're really nice. You put the camping stuff away.
Gladly.
Bill's Happy Campers, 15 North Water Street in Mill Hall. Open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 8 till 6, Wednesday and Friday, 8 to 5. Hey, make sure you visit them at the Center County Grange Fair. Bill's Happy Campers. You'll leave a happy camper because customer service is their top priority.
Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, is your destination for Kubota. At Daughter Equipment in Mill Hall, the savings start before the fair does. It's the Daughter Equipment Fair Savings event going on now. Step into the Kubota LX2620 cab tractor with a factory-installed, climate-controlled cab. You'll stay comfortable no matter the season, heat in the winter, AC in the summer, plus 24.8 horsepower, hydrostatic transmission, and quick connect loader and backhoe options. From mowing to moving snow, the Kubota LX2620 is your all-in-one workhorse. And right now, during Daughter Equipment's Fair Savings event, you can save up to $4,500 on select Kubota LX2620 models. Don't wait for the fair to get started. These deals are happening now at Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us or see KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Bellefonte. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Bellefonte. Brothers Pizza, downtown Bellefonte.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
It's Grange Fair season and Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is bringing the hot deals to the fair. Stop by our booth and explore our full lineup of hot spring spas, built for comfort, performance, and year-round relaxation. During the Grange Fair only, save up to $1,000 on select models. Plus, get 50% off accessories like coverlifts, handrails, and ozones. Every tub includes a free cover and step, so you're soaking in serious value. Visit Clearwater at the Grange Fair and bring comfort and relaxation to your very own backyard.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is a Wednesday morning. I like to call it Hump Day. You celebrate as you see fit out there on a rainy Wednesday at that. Jeff and Scott with you. It's Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
All right, we have just a few minutes here. Again, 9 o'clock, we're scheduled to be joined by Caroline Mell with the Constructive Dialogue Institute. This is going to be an interesting conversation.
It is. Like, I'm hoping she can help these other people out.
Well, like you?
Huh? No, the people I'm trying to talk to and explain how they should be thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, please ask questions.
Oh, I've got a whole list.
I've got a whole list. Please.
How do you get these stupid idiots to listen to you?
I can't.
That's going to be one of my first questions.
Must hear radio. All right.
All right. Today, hold on.
What?
We got to get a couple of these out. This is a good day. This is a very good day. It's National Accessible Air Travel Day. Whatever. But it is National Radio Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
I mean, let's celebrate.
Do you know why?
Yeah, because it says right here on my list of days, it's National Radio Day.
Yeah, but does it say why?
Well, on August 20th, National Radio Day recognizes the great invention of the radio. You can celebrate the news, information, music, and stories carried across the airwaves. Several inventors participated in the invention of the radio back in the late 1800s. Amazingly, not just one person can be credited with the beginning of radio. Instead, each component developed through invention and discovery. As these technologies converged, the radio came to life, Geezy!
Yeah, but that's not why it's today. I have why it's today. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. On this day in 1920, the first commercial radio station in the United States began operation. No, it was not KDKA.
What?
Okay. Now, KDKA started in 1920. That is true. I guess, if I recall, their first broadcast was early November of 1920 when they did election results, because there was a presidential election in 1920. And so KDKA did election results that night, and that was sort of the launch of them. No, on this day in 1920, it was radio station. Now, back then, it was called 8MK. That was the name of the station.
Uh-huh.
8MK. Now, 8MK is still with us after all these years. It became later known as WWJ, which is a station in Detroit. That is the first commercial radio station in the United States. So I'd be curious to know what those folks are doing today. WWJ, they must be a big cake.
Probably celebrate.
And so on. The first, according to this, the first U.S. radio announcer, the first announcer was a guy, actually a kid, by the name of Elton Plant. Now, one thing I know, back in those early days, some of those first radio stations were actually owned by newspapers. So the newspapers, they were obviously already in production, they had lots of information, and so they started this new cool thing called radio, and so they started radio stations, and oftentimes they had some, or they were owned or had some connection with a local newspaper. In this case, the Detroit News was the owner of, well, what is now WWJ. It says here, Elton Plant was an office boy at the Detroit News.
Well,
they needed to find somebody to try out this new thing.
Yeah.
Now, this is 1920, right? Very, very few people had radios in 1920. All right, forget television. That was years in the future. Very few people had radios. And so according to the story I have here, Elton, the kid, was the first announcer for U.S. radio. And it says here that day or early on, he was maybe reaching about 30 homes in Detroit. That was it. He had about 30 listeners. That sounds about right.
Yeah, that does sound about
30
right.
Listeners.
Yeah.
No, we have way more than 30, but yeah. That's how radio got started, all right? With a kid that worked at the newspaper, they needed somebody to get on this microphone thing and start talking, so they hired Elton. Well, they had Elton, and they, like, okay, Elton, just, now it doesn't say here what he did. Did he do news? Did he do sports? Did he do commentary? Did he do constructive dialogue? Did he do recipes? We have no idea. I don't know what he did. But he started, and it started on this day in 1920.
Those were the days.
That's it. National Radio Day. So on this beautiful, cloudy, rainy day, get out and enjoy National Radio Day.
Yes, indeed. It is also National Chocolate Pecan or Pecan. Your choice.
Pecan.
Pie Day.
Oh, yo.
Chocolate.
Oh.
Pecan Pie Day.
Oh, ring the bell.
And, ladies and gentlemen, let's all get together. Listen for the sizzle as we celebrate National Bacon Lovers Day.
Oh, yes.
I mean, come on. You got your radio, you got your chocolate pecan pie, and you got your bacon. This is a Wednesday to love.
To be remembered.
To appreciate.
August 20. Mark it down.
Be grateful.
All right. Let's take our break right here. All right. We're going to get our guest, hopefully do some constructive dialogue. My buddy here doesn't blow it. And other good stuff, all right? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. It's must-hear radio on Radio Day. We will come right back.
98.7 The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Hey, honey, what you doing?
Getting the camping gear ready to go. Got the tent, air mattress, sleeping bag.
sleeping bags.
Hey, babe, I was thinking.
Oh, boy.
Don't you want me to be a happy camper?
Sure. Happy wife, happy life.
It's time to look at campers. I mean, let's just check them out. Let's go to Bill's Happy Campers in Mill Hall. Bill's Happy Campers has a great selection of new and used campers. I mean, they have great names like Catalina, the Legacy Edition, Trailblazer, Summit, Cedar Creek, Riverstone.
Sounds like you've already checked out Bill's Happy Campers.
I have. Look at their website, billshappycampers.com.
Wow, they're really nice. You put the camping stuff away.
Gladly.
Bill's Happy Campers, 15 North Water Street in Mill Hall. Open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 8 till 6, Wednesday and Friday, 8 to 5. And make sure you visit them at the Center County Grange Fair. Bill's Happy Campers. You'll leave a happy camper because customer service is their top priority.
Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, is your destination for Kubota. At Daughter Equipment in Mill Hall, the savings start before the fair does. It's the Daughter Equipment Fair Savings event going on now. Step into the Kubota LX2620 cab tractor with a factory-installed, climate-controlled cab. You'll stay comfortable no matter the season, heat in the winter, AC in the summer, plus 24.8 horsepower, hydrostatic transmission, and quick-connect loader and backhoe options. From mowing to moving snow, the Kubota LX2620 is your all-in-one workhorse. And right now, during Daughter Equipment's Fair Savings event, you can save up to $4,500 on select Kubota LX2620 models. Don't wait for the fair to get started. These deals are happening now at Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us or see KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream just down the street from Beaver Stadium and the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. And hey, a little extra open phone time right here at 814-954-7266.
All right, made a mistake.
What?
I know, that's rare.
Outrageous.
Actually, it's not rare. Our guest Caroline Mell is going to join us in about 12 minutes or so. I forgot that instead of 9 o'clock, she asked for 9:15. Like, oops, and I just realized my error. So sit tight, folks. I'm Caroline Mell from the Constructive Dialogue Institute, CDI, is going to join us in just a little bit. That's my mistake. She made a special request because she had something to do this morning. I'm like, all right, that's cool, and I forgot about it. So she's going to join us after 9:15, so stay tuned. Actually, this is kind of interesting. All right, now I had this, and then we got on to Radio Day there.
Uh-huh.
Did you see what Auburn is doing this week? Now, we're talking Auburn University. We're talking their football team. Did you see this story?
They're practicing, aren't they? They're getting ready for the upcoming season.
Well, yes, they're doing all of that.
I knew it.
That is true.
Ladies and gentlemen, I nailed it.
Here is, let me just read the headline. Now, this is from Auburn Sports, which is an online Auburn media outlet, okay? I'm assuming some other outlets down that way also picking up this story. It says here, Auburn football now is claiming 9 national championships. All right?
Yep.
And so they made this announcement yesterday. And again, I'm reading from this outlet. Now, again, this is an Auburn outlet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the first line that says, Auburn football finally, which is in like italics.
Uh-huh.
Auburn football finally will claim 9 deserving and legitimate college football national championships.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now I'm still reading. When reached for comment, athletic director John Cohen offered this explanation of the school's decision. All right, now this is a quote. Quote, for too long, Auburn has chosen a humble approach to our program's storied history, choosing to recognize only Associated Press national championships. Starting this fall, we have made the decision to honor the accomplishments of our deserving student athletes, coaches, and teams from Auburn's proud history. Our visible national championship recognitions now align with the well-established standard used by the NCAA's official record book and our peers across the nation. So, in other words, anybody now, all right, there's a playoff now. So we figure out the national champion through a playoff. Okay, so this is going back, all right, back to prior times. According to this, the AP has only had Auburn for 2 national championships. This is football, 1957 and 2010. Although it says more national titles quietly noted in their football media guide, 1913, 1983, 1993. But now 4 more national titles will be recognized. So, and again, they've got a listing here of all these different, like, other outlets that in a particular year chose Auburn as their number one team. So, for instance, 2004 is apparently new. There, we were the 2004 national champions. According to Daryl Perry, who the heck is that? And GBE College Football Rankings. Okay. Let's see. They've got 1 year. Let's see. 1958. The Montgomery Full Season Championship, whatever the heck that was, picked Auburn as their number one team. So now at Auburn Stadium, their football stadium, instead of just having 2 years posted, now they're going to have 9 years posted as national champions. Now, come on, folks. If you're a Penn State fan, all right, should Penn State try this? Come on, 1994? Hello?
New York Times.
1994. How about, what am I thinking? 68, 69, 73? Those were all undefeated teams. Remember that? All right. And there was a lot of debate why Penn State kind of got the short shrift those years in favor of other teams. Richard Nixon, the president, made his rather infamous comment in, 73? They asked the president, well, who should the champion be? And I think he said, what did he say, Texas or something? And because the president said it, so I don't know if Penn State Athletics is listening, and we know you are. Mm-hmm. All right, maybe take a look at Auburn. All right, they mentioned things like the Sagarin ratings. Now I remember those. The Sagarin ratings. You mentioned New York Times. They had like their own separate little listing. The NCAA football record book. All right, that's kind of interesting. If they name you as national champion, why should the AP be the only... Now, again, this is not now. This is back then, okay? Why should the AP be the only ones to determine national champions? Mr. Ironhead, what say you?
It's an outrage.
Outrage for Auburn, or that they're doing this?
It's everybody.
It's an outrage.
Only Penn State should be recognized as... Whatever. You can recognize, feel good about your teams. The whole process was very, very flawed, to say the least. And there's a wide variety of opinions as to who the best team. When you have multiple undefeated teams or multiple teams with one loss in a couple of years there, okay. I mean... Claim away. Who's to say that the football writers had any better handle on this than anybody else as to who would win? Again, I am steadfast that the Penn State football team in 1994 was the best team and would have defeated anybody, Nebraska included, if they had had the opportunity to play any other team in college football that season. But that's my opinion. Right. It's no more or less valid than anybody's opinion out in Nebraska or whatever. It doesn't bother me. Some people give some credence to it. Some people say, well, that's, you know, it doesn't harm anything, but this is the problem when you have a sport that didn't have a reasonable way to go about determining a national champion for many, 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 many decades. Ridiculous.
At the very least, Penn State should have been the co-national champ in 94. But again, it came out to a vote. Now, again, we look at this today, and we look back at those days 30 years ago, and we think, that was so totally asinine that it came down to a vote.
Yeah.
All right? At the worst, the two teams should have been co-national champs. They can both celebrate. All right? It's not the two schools' fault that they couldn't get the two teams together. For God's sakes, we tried to get them together.
Yes, indeed.
We had the venue in Indianapolis. We had the date. It was ready to go. And it's funny, when you look at the playoff now, 12 teams, 16 teams. Now it's, how about 24 or 28 teams? And this whole thing, how are we going to, schedule games? And went, all we wanted to do was schedule one game. And we're talking about the old radio station. We did this. We called the old Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis, and we actually had somebody live on the air. We're like, we want to do this. Are you guys available? And I think, as I recall, the person kind of chuckled a little bit, like, well, actually, yeah, we kind of are. The place is wide open on that date. We could do something. All right, we'll get back to you, knowing full well that this was going absolutely nowhere. Okay? So, it's about, yes, for folks that are young, they used to vote on who the national champion was. Isn't that quaint?
Seems a little silly.
Voter fraud. Voter fraud. Anyway. All right. I saw that story. I'm like,
yep.
I want to see some other schools that are going to try now this same maneuver. Now, granted, all Auburn is doing is they're putting a bunch of extra years up on the walls of their stadium. Now they're going to have 9 of them, I guess, instead of 2 of them or something like that. All right. Could Penn State do the same thing? Stay tuned. But look really nice with those temporary stands that are going to fall down. I'm sorry, they're not going to fall down. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will have our guest, all right? We'll see if we can do some actual constructive dialogue. Stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Hey, honey. What you doing?
Getting the camping gear ready to go. Got the tent, air mattress, sleeping bags.
Hey, babe. I was thinking.
Oh, boy.
Don't you want me to be a happy camper?
Sure. Happy wife, happy life.
It's time to look at campers. I mean, let's just check them out. Let's go to Bill's Happy Campers in Mill Hall. Bill's Happy Campers has a great selection of new and used campers. I mean, they have great names like Catalina, the Legacy Edition, Trailblazer, Summit, Cedar Creek, Riverstone.
Sounds like you've already checked out Bill's Happy Campers.
I have. Look at their website, billshappycampers.com.
Wow, they're really nice. You put the camping stuff away.
Gladly.
Bill's Happy Campers, 15 North Water Street in Mill Hall. Open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 8 till 6, Wednesday and Friday, 8 to 5. Hey, make sure you visit them at the Center County Grange Fair. Bill's Happy Campers. You'll leave a happy camper because customer service is their top priority.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
It's Grange Fair season, and Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is bringing the hot deals to the fair. Stop by our booth and explore our full lineup of hot spring spas, built for comfort, performance, and year-round relaxation. During the Grange Fair only, save up to $1,000 on select models. Plus, get 50% off accessories like coverlifts, handrails, and ozones. Every tub includes a free cover and step, so you're soaking in serious value. Visit Clearwater at the Grange Fair and bring comfort and relaxation to your very own backyard.
Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, is your destination for Kubota. At Daughter Equipment in Mill Hall, the savings start before the fair does. It's the Daughter Equipment Fair Savings event going on now. Step into the Kubota LX2620 cab tractor with a factory-installed, climate-controlled cab. You'll stay comfortable no matter the season. Heat in the winter, AC in the summer. Plus, 24.8 horsepower, hydrostatic transmission, and quick connect loader and backhoe options. From mowing to moving snow, the Kubota LX2620 is your all-in-one workhorse. And right now, during Daughter Equipment's Fair Savings event, you can save up to $4,500 on select Kubota LX2620 models. Don't wait for the fair to get started. These deals are happening now at Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us or see KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. And I just have a feeling, Scott, we really are going to get some rain today. Call me prescient, well, but I can feel it in my bones. I really think, at least in the western end of State College, a really excellent chance that we could get some rain this morning even.
Well, if the radar's accurate, the whole neighborhood's getting rain.
Uh-huh.
That's been kind of rare for us lately, right?
Yes.
So here at our studio, it's pouring right now. So we actually are looking out windows like, wow, look at that. It's raining.
What is that stuff?
So now at the Grange Fair, okay, you folks in the tents, good luck there, all right? Have a good time. Hey, we've been wanting rain. Here it comes.
No, so, we need it.
For crops and lawns and stuff like that. All right, yes, on this show, we try to do constructive dialogue, ladies and gentlemen. And no, we're not kidding. All right, we're telling the truth. So when I came across something recently, I thought, oh, absolutely, I want to talk more about this. So let's welcome to our program Caroline Mell, who is with the Constructive Dialogue Institute. And Caroline, first off, good morning, and thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me. Great to be here.
You're very welcome. Again, I came across this recently, and I kind of reached out to you almost on a whim, thinking, oh, this is because this, again, we try to do this on our program, but yet when we look around in media and we look around in, I guess, call it public discourse, doesn't seem all that constructive very often, so I thought let's tackle this one.
No,
so.
And I'm hoping we have other people listening in this morning, Caroline, because I'm really hoping. I try to have these constructive dialogues, and these stupid idiots aren't listening to me. I'm trying to explain to them the way they should be thinking, and Caroline, they're just not getting it. So can you help them this morning understand what it is I'm trying to get them to believe in? Is that possible that you can help these people out, because these morons are just they're very problematic.
Caroline, please tell me you're laughing. Huh? You are laughing, right?
What?
Yeah, I'd say that you're exactly hitting all the points of constructive dialogue right there. So you've got it already.
There it goes. Okay, Caroline, I'm really sorry, but no, that was a setup. All right. First off, let's start with some background, if we could. Tell us about yourself. Like, what is your background and so on? And then it's called the Constructive Dialogue Institute, I guess CDI. Tell us about you, and then tell us about your group. What do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the co-founder and executive director of the Constructive Dialogue Institute, or CDI, and I'm originally from New York. I grew up in a pretty traditional Jewish community. I'm the granddaughter of three Holocaust survivors, and my fourth grandparent was a refugee from Austria who was able to escape to the United States in 1939. And I share this because their stories of persecution, oppression, the atrocities that they experienced really shaped my worldview growing up. And especially in my 20s, I became very curious about how a society could get to the point of committing such atrocities against their fellow citizens. And so I started to dig into the research around that. And what I quickly discovered is that there's actually a clear body of evidence that shows that there's a pretty consistent path that people in societies can go down that begins with having contempt for others, then shifts to demonization of others, and then ultimately shifts to violence. Because once you feel as though someone else, another group, is so bad, so immoral, so beyond what you consider to be even fully human, it actually starts to feel like a moral imperative that you're supposed to commit violence against this group. And so this whole psychological kind of process became really interesting to me. It was something that I was interested in studying more, and it's what led me originally to become interested in, the underlying psychology of intergroup dynamics. Separately, on a more positive note, I had always just loved psychology. So again, in my early 20s, I discovered another field of research within psychology called positive psychology, which is really looking at the more positive aspect of human nature, essentially recognizing that most of psychology research had been focused on diagnosing and treating pathology, like what's wrong with people, rather than thinking about, well, how could we apply the same scientific method to discovering what helps people flourish? That's what the field of positive psychology is all about. And the more I learned about positive psychology, the more I felt like, oh, wow, this was completely revolutionizing the way I saw the world, the way I engage with people, helping me make better decisions, was improving my well-being. So I also started to feel really strongly that there was something here that I was really interested in. I had this kind of strong desire to bring these ideas into the world to help, you know, lift up individuals, organizations, and society. And by chance, I was actually living in the UK back in 2015, 2016, when the Brexit vote happened. And I remember waking up, I wasn't, you know, particularly interested in British politics at the time, but I remember waking up the morning after the Brexit vote, and everyone around me was in a state of shock. Everyone was totally, shocked by the outcome, and everyone felt like, oh, I don't know anyone who voted for Brexit. And so it made it very clear to me that I was living in this kind of echo chamber while I was over there, and that something strange is going on in our society, that there's this deep divide, and people had really no understanding of how people could have voted a different way. I then moved back to the U.S. a couple of months later, right in time for the 2016 election. And I was living back in New York, where I'm from originally. And again, it was the same kind of experience, where in New York, I was living in Manhattan, and it felt like most people I knew were shocked by the outcome of the 2016 election. And so these combined experiences really highlighted to me that our society had reached this point where we had completely lost our ability to communicate across differences. We no longer understood each other. It was as if we were speaking completely different languages. And so I became really interested in solving that problem, and in particular in using psychology to try to address that problem. How can we think about what we know about how human nature operates, how our minds are wired, what leads us to these deep divisions, and then what does the psychology research tell us about how we can actually navigate these differences more effectively? So shortly after the election, I was already working with the psychologist Jonathan Haidt, who's one of the leading experts in the field of moral and political psychology. So he has been studying for years, you know, what leads people to be so deeply divided across local differences. Now, how is it possible that two people can look at the same set of facts and reach wildly different conclusions? And so we decided to really address this issue by co-founding a nonprofit called the Constructive Dialogue Institute. And we're a nonpartisan nonprofit, and we focus on working with colleges and universities across the country to help them create campus cultures that support dialogue across kinds of difference.
Now, you mentioned Dr. Haidt, and when I first, you know, came across your information recently, I thought, okay, I've heard that name before, because he wrote, I guess, a pretty famous piece about kids and smartphones, like kids and smartphones, bad, 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 bad. I mean, that's the same gentleman, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And he's a co-founder of your group.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. First off, very quickly, now, that piece that I just mentioned from Dr. Haidt, describe briefly what that was. Because as I recall, I think he was on TV shows, and he got a lot of publicity about that. What was the whole point of his piece there?
Yeah, so he recently published a book called The Anxious Generation. And essentially, it was looking at, what is the role of social media and smartphones on teen mental health issues. And over the last, say, at least 5 years, there's been an epidemic, a crisis among teen mental health. There are rates of depression, suicidality that are really off the charts compared to what we've seen in the past. And so what John was doing was he was examining what are the causes that have led us to this point, and really tracing the evidence around how screen time, social media, have contributed to what we're seeing today around this mental health crisis, especially with young people.
All right, now let's mention your website, which is constructivedialogue.org, all one word, constructivedialogue.org. And Caroline, I was obviously looking at the website and so on. We'll talk about the work that you folks do, but is it all colleges and universities? I mean, is that sort of the main emphasis, or do you kind of go out further than that?
We have done some work with some other audiences. Like, we've done work with the public and private sectors, but the vast majority of our work is with higher ed, and that's really our focus.
Caroline, I'm just curious, do you have any
any feel, I don't know if there's data available, but on how the pandemic maybe affected, in particular, young people as they're coming through school, maybe their ability to communicate along with the social media stuff. But I wonder how much of the struggles there to again just be able to talk reasonably with people, even if they agree with you, but especially if they disagree with you, just comes from what I think was some of the harm with the reaction to the pandemic. Do you think that is playing a role in some of these communication issues, especially with our young people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. I'd say that it's definitely a factor. In looking at the data, the issues that we've been seeing around discourse, polarization, especially in college campuses, began before the pandemic. It really started to reach a fever pitch around 2015, 2017. The challenges that we're experiencing began before the pandemic, so the pandemic definitely contributed to it, because exactly as you're saying, it took young people during a critical developmental stage where they needed the opportunity to, you know, become socialized, to practice engaging in face-to-face conversations, and so many young people were, you know, isolated for such a long period of time. So it definitely exacerbated the problem, and interestingly, what we're hearing from our campus partners is now that the students who were kind of hit most by being in high school during the pandemic have graduated out. The incoming students are actually starting to seem a little bit different because they had more time to like socialize and practice these types of conversations before entering college. So we're still seeing the same broader pattern around polarization, but the pandemic definitely had an impact that exacerbated the trend.
All right, now, Caroline, your group works with colleges, universities. We have this little school close to us. Actually, it's kind of big, Penn State. You do anything with Penn State?
You know, we haven't done anything with Penn State yet, but we would love to. So hopefully there's some listeners out there today who can help make that happen.
Well, yeah, that would be great.
Well, we'll see if we can make a connection here. I guess, Caroline, let's go very simple and basic. When we say constructive dialogue... Oh, that sounds really nice. What is that? I mean, what is your definition of constructive dialogue?
Yeah, so we define constructive dialogue as a form of conversation where people with different perspectives try to understand each other without giving up their own beliefs in order to live, learn, and work together. And what I really want to emphasize is that piece around without giving up their own beliefs. Because oftentimes when people hear about constructive dialogue, they might say, oh, well, this feels, you know, very squishy, or I don't want to just meet in the middle. And so the point of constructive dialogue is to say, well, you know, different people will have their commitments, they'll have the deep convictions. And this is not about changing your mind. It's not about, you know, giving up or watering down your beliefs. It's really about how do you make space for others? How do you actually approach conversations with a desire to learn, to listen, to understand, to find commonality, to move forward, as opposed to letting your differences really derail conversations, derail the opportunity for relationships and for forward motion.
So is this sort of, I don't know, good old-fashioned debate, which we don't seem to do anymore? I don't know, maybe I have my rose-colored glasses on about the past, that in the past we had nice, robust debates. Maybe that never happened. I don't know. Caroline, first off, did that ever happen? Am I making that up? And is this just sort of a return to just good old-fashioned, what we used to call debate, not debate teams necessarily? Is that what this is, or does it go further than that?
Yeah, I think that you're right that things have changed, that discourse has become a lot more challenging in recent years, and it's not just, you know, your imagination. You know, when we look back, things always seem rosier than they were, but there is really a marked difference in what we're seeing around discourse today. And I think, you know, debate is interesting. Debate is kind of also a complex term in and of itself. I think that depends on how you're thinking about debate, but constructive dialogue, I'd say, is slightly different in that debate is often about winning, in the sense that you're trying to, you know, win the argument. And constructive dialogue is not about winning or losing. It's more about understanding and making progress together. But it is similar in the sense of, you know, having robust exchange of ideas, healthy conversations, working through complex issues. That's what it's all about.
All right, so when you folks go to a college or a university and you're going to, I don't know, do something with them in this realm of constructive dialogue, I don't know, just maybe like a simple, what do you do? I mean, do you only talk to certain groups? Do you want to talk to everybody? Do you do certain things? I mean, when you go to a college or a university, what exactly do you do with them?
So our approach is really focused on shifting the culture of the institution. So giving the stakeholders on the campus the skills and resources they need to really change the nature of how discourse feels on their campuses. And so to do that, we have this, you know, broad suite of tools that are geared towards college presidents, incoming students, basically all the stakeholders in between, to give each of the stakeholders the set of skills and resources that they need to collectively contribute to an environment where people feel as though they can engage in healthy conversations across kinds of difference. And so starting at the top with college presidents, we work with presidents and their leadership teams to help them develop strategic action plans around, what are the key drivers of change on their particular campus, what could change look like. Also working with leaders to think about how they can model what constructive dialogue looks like on their campus, in terms of how they show up, how they're talking about these values, how they're navigating conflicts themselves. We offer a variety of trainings and workshops for administrators, faculty, and staff in how to facilitate difficult conversations in curricular and co-curricular settings, how to kind of de-escalate situations. And then we also offer an online learning program for students that's often used with all incoming students through things like orientation programming that is designed to equip students with a shared language, shared set of skills, and how to navigate difficult conversations. So that's kind of at a high level the way that we work with institutions, so really giving them the skills they need to do the work. But I'm happy to share a little bit more about, you know, what are we teaching? What does that actually look like?
Okay, this is Scott. I must be getting old, all right? That, Caroline, that sounds great. That sounds like common sense. And so I guess my next question is, why is this so difficult for certain groups out there or certain areas out there to pick up? All right. Now, here, you know, around here, we have an occasional protest, like a lot of other colleges and universities across the country and so on. And there have been these national protests that have kind of popped out this year, like every month. And I see people, you know, chanting, yelling, raving, raging, holding up signs with the F word. And by the way, Caroline, expletives are a no-go for me. All right, whenever I see somebody using expletives, that tells me that person has nothing left to argue with. And so all they're going to do now is swear. So why is this so, what you just described a minute ago, why is this so difficult to do? It seems like total common sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'd say that there are a couple of factors that are kind of intersecting with one another that have gotten us to where we are today. So there are things that are operating both at the level of human psychology. There is the media and social media ecosystem that we're in, and then there's also our broader political climate as a society. And so at the individual psychological level, essentially part of what's happening is that human beings are actually wired for tribalism. You might, you know, be hearing that word a lot over the last couple of years, but the idea that we are acting as though we're in these opposing tribes, where we see the world, see issues in terms of us versus them, where, you know, my side is right, your side is wrong, and we must defeat the other side. The reason why that's happening is that we are kind of wired for tribalism because as human beings, we are the descendants of ancestors who were able to survive because they were effective in cooperating with their in-group in order to defeat the out-group. And so as a result, we have inherited this tendency to engage in this kind of us versus them tribalistic thinking. Now, the thing that's important about tribalism is that even though we have a tendency to behave in this tribalistic way, and there's actually a lot of research that you can create this type of tribalistic way of thinking about completely trivial mundane things. for example, there's research that if you, put people in, randomly assign people to be like the blue shirt team, the red shirt team, they will form these strong identities around those shirts, even though they're completely arbitrary. And you can get them to behave in certain ways that, they'll preference, their own group. They'll create disadvantages for another group. Like, all these kinds of crazy things can escalate very quickly because it's part of our DNA to behave this way. But at the same time, obviously, when you look around, it's not as though we behave this way all the time. So the thing about our tribalistic tendencies is that they're actually very sensitive to local conditions, meaning you can think about our tribalism almost like a volume knob where it can be turned up or turned down. And the reason that it turns up is due to the conditions around us. So if we are in conditions where we are feeling as though we're being pitted against one another, different groups, different people, if we feel as though we are competing for scarce resources, these are the types of conditions that help create this tribalistic impulse. It's almost like you're flipping on a tribalism switch. And so our conditions around us have created this environment in recent years. Part of that is due to our media and social media environment. So we are living in a world where, the headlines that we see in the news are often sensationalized, very extreme. Our social media feeds are optimized to trigger outrage. There's been a lot of research on this that when social media companies, the key metric that they care about is engagement, and engagement is driven by content that sparks outrage. That tends to be the most engaging content. And so as a result, when you open up your social media feed, you're seeing the most extreme voices from your side and other side, and it hardens your views against the other side because you start to think that people who believe something different than you, or people that you consider to be part of the other tribe, they're so much more extreme than what they actually are, which actually relates to another psychological concept, which is known as the perception gap, where there is actually a gap between what we think people believe and what they actually believe. And what I mean by that is there's been a lot of research, again, on the fact that if you ask people, if you poll, let's say, Republicans and Democrats, what do you think the average Republican or Democrat believes about various issues, let's say gun control, immigration? People tend to expect that the other side, on average, has a much, much more extreme view than they actually do in reality. And again, this is all the result of the fact that we have created these echo chambers where we tend to live and encounter people who have similar views and beliefs to us. And so it actually makes our views more hardened. And then the exposure that we have to people of opposing views also tends to be the loudest, most extreme voices. The last piece is that our political system is also exacerbating this, where politicians are seeing polarization as a way to actually drive, elections, campaigns. I live in Washington, D.C., so I actually know that, to an extent, obviously there's animosity, but a lot of these, members of Congress, they're putting on a show. Like, they're much friendlier with one another in real life than what they pretend when they're, on TV. And it's because it's part of this narrative that actually helps them, drive clicks, drive donations. One of the key drivers of voting behavior is actually one of the best predictors of how people vote is how much they dislike the other side rather than how much they like the candidate that they're voting for. And so all these factors together have created this environment that has created a hyperdrive situation around polarization, tribalism, and it makes it much more difficult for people to engage in reasoned conversations with one another because they see others as a caricature of who they really are.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Caroline, you got two hosts in the studio. We're both nodding our heads. Yes, everything you just said. Yes, absolutely. Let's take a break. Again, our guest is Caroline Mell from the Constructive Dialogue Institute. Really good stuff. Again, their website, constructivedialogue.org. Check it out. There's some pretty good stuff in there. We're going to take a break. We'll have a few more minutes with Caroline. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Are your deductibles too high? Or are you completely uninsured? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthcare Help Desk can help you now, when people need help the most. Health insurance laws and rules have changed. If you have Obamacare, are uninsured, or your premiums are too high, call Healthcare Help Desk. It's free. New healthcare plans are available, and you may qualify for dental coverage and lower copays and deductibles. Make the free call now. Top quality coverage at the lowest prices anywhere. You may be paying too much and not even know it. In these troubled times, healthcare is more important than ever. Don't let another day go by without health insurance. Policies are being offered with very low copays and deductibles. So if you're uninsured, underinsured, or paying too much, call Healthcare Help Desk.
800-930-2263. 800-930-2263. 800-930-2263.
It's Grange Fair season, and Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is bringing the hot deals to the fair. Stop by our booth and explore our full lineup of hot spring spas, built for comfort, performance, and year-round relaxation. During the Grange Fair only, save up to $1,000 on select models. Plus, get 50% off accessories like coverlifts, handrails, and ozones. Every tub includes a free cover and step, so you're soaking in serious value. Visit Clearwater at the Grange Fair and bring comfort and relaxation to your very own backyard.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning.
All right, we got about 10 more minutes. Again, our guest is Caroline Mell from the Constructive Dialogue Institute. Again, their website, constructivedialogue.org. And yes, if anybody at Penn State's listening, why don't you drop these folks a line? And I'm not saying that Penn State has a problem. Caroline, actually, again, we look at the last, I don't know, year, year and a half, 2 years, at all of these, I don't know, college protests and I call it craziness and things going on. We haven't had nearly as much of that around here. Now, does your group do anything with Ivy League schools? Because, again, that's where I'm a bit mystified. Ivy League schools are supposed to be the best and brightest. They're so smart. And yet we keep hearing things about lack of free speech, anti-Semitism, some of these out-of-control protests at places like Columbia and Harvard and some other places. Do you do anything with the Ivy League? And I'm wondering why those folks are seemingly having a real problem when it comes to constructive dialogue. What do you think there?
Yeah, we do work with a number of Ivy League schools, and I think that's an interesting question, why it's happening more acutely in those types of institutions. I think part of it, we actually did an analysis last year. We published a research paper on this, looking at what were the factors that contributed to protests happening on certain campuses. And interestingly, what we found is that campuses with the average SAT scores, the higher the average SAT scores, the more likely it was that you would have this kind of disruptive campus protest or an encampment on campus. So there is definitely some kind of relationship there. We also found things around location. So so being in, you know, major cities, other things like that, depending on the local population, also contributed to the scale of these types of protests. So I think that on the one hand, there is probably something going on around these universities. On the other hand, these universities also tend to get a lot more media attention than others. So, you know, the news likes to report on what's happening at Ivy League campuses, and that, in a way, creates a vicious circle where students know that they have more of a platform or megaphone because there's interest in what's happening on those campuses. So they're more inclined to do these types of large-scale protests. The media then covers it, and then it kind of escalates from there, especially Columbia University, which is really right next to all these major news stations. They, for a variety of reasons, they, you know, they're kind of like in the perfect storm of the center of a kind of a national spotlight. But that being said, I think that there is something going on related to these institutions themselves. I think part of it is the result of students, again, feeling as though they are very passionate about these particular issues. In the last couple of years, there have just been, I think, more acute manifestations of the political differences and political polarization that we're seeing at a national level really starting to play out on these key campuses.
All right, now, Caroline, you and I communicated, obviously, to set up our interview here, and I shared an example with you here. I mean, if you were coming to Penn State or your group came here, Penn State has had an issue this year where administration has decided to close down some so-called branch campuses around Pennsylvania. And it's been a really hot issue here this year. Some folks have been in favor. Some folks have been vehemently against. And even though the final decision's been made, this is still a hot one around here. If you were coming here to Penn State and that's the issue, big, I mean, what would you do? How would you handle that so that there's some constructive dialogue to go along with, you know, this whole scenario of the problem I just described? What would you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think the first thing is really to create space for people to listen to one another. So when we have an issue like that, and really in a lot of issues, people tend to focus on, let's say, like the level of policy, the level of decision, and the impact. And that obviously is very important, especially in a decision like this where there is a clear decision point and consequences. But what people fail to recognize is that there's often what's known as an understory. There are, you know, values, unmet needs, concerns that are driving why people have these differences in opinions on this specific issue. And it's really important to unearth what's hiding under the surface that's driving these strong feelings about this particular issue. So what we would do is we would help create structured spaces where people, different stakeholders, students, faculty, community members, can really voice their concerns rather than debate outcomes. So give people the space to express themselves, share what's on their mind, share what's driving their beliefs, share their concerns, and really make sure that people feel heard. The second step would be, again, around unearthing what are those underlying values. Because people often, without understanding, like, what's the understory, they start to just, you know, get into a debate about, you know, more like logistical pieces of, oh, well, we need this to, you know, solve this kind of economic issue, or, you know, we need this for whatever reason, without taking the time to unearth, like, what are the stories, what are the feelings, what are the emotions that are driving those beliefs? And it's, again, very important, especially in a situation like this where the decision has been made. So actually giving space to hear, like, what are the emotions around this? What are driving the emotions? Helping people make sense of that. That is really critical to surface. And then helping people see, like, what's the path forward? How do you rebuild a sense of trust in this process? How might this inform, you know, future decisions? Could there be a different decision-making process in the future if decisions like this need to be made so that the different stakeholders feel as though their voices are being heard, their voices are being considered? There's a lot of research, again, that, you know, leaders always need to make decisions, and it's impossible to make a decision that is going to satisfy everyone. But decades of research have shown that if people feel as though there's been a fair process around how decisions have been made, they're far more likely to accept the outcome, even if they disagree with it. And so a fair process has three key elements. The first is neutrality, where they feel as though decision makers are unbiased and the process itself is fair and consistent. The second is transparency, so the way that decisions are made are clear, the decision-making criteria are clear and explained rather than hidden. And the third is participation, that stakeholders feel as though they have a say, their voices have been heard, their positions have been considered. And so, again, even if there's a decision that's made that people don't agree with, if you follow these types of practices, it can lead to more buy-in with the ultimate decision. And so I would think about how can you use dialogue to both create rebuilding of community, rebuilding of trust, and also use that to inform future decision-making approaches by the university.
All right. Now, Caroline, let me be honest. That sounds like a lot of work. Could that be the problem here? People don't want to put in the work to do what you just described.
Yeah, I think that is the problem. And the thing that's ironic, though, is that people say, oh, well, this is a lot of work. But I would imagine that there's a lot of work that goes into solving these disputes, dealing with these complaints, and not just work, you know, a lot of aggravation. I imagine that decision makers are getting a lot of complaints, a lot of angry messages. And then the more and more you create this environment where there's a breakdown in trust, it just makes future decision-making even more difficult. So, yes, there is some upfront work, but I think ultimately does save time and also create a better community, better sense of trust among all the decision-makers.
Yeah, I think both ends of that are just so important, and I think we drop the ball, both sides drop the ball in that. I think it is important that decision makers come out and explain their decision. And again, people may disagree with it. And that's the other thing is to understand that it is possible for you to make an argument to actually be heard and to have a decision that you're not happy with be made. Too many people think if you're not doing what we want you to do, then you haven't heard me. Well, no, it's possible they heard you, and they just don't think that your decision-making there or your path on any particular topic is the best. But then the other side of it is, again, well, explain how you did come to that. And I think too often we just people think they're not heard if the decision they want isn't made. And too often the decision makers don't just come out, hey, this is why we did it. Again, you might disagree with it. As you said, I am much more comfortable with bosses who make decisions and explain, hey, this is how we came there. Oh, man, I disagree with that. But, all right, well, I can kind of understand where you're coming from, though, with that decision. I just think both sides need to do a better job in those situations. One, explaining, and two, understanding it is possibly heard and not have your wishes met.
Caroline, we got about 45 seconds. What do you think there?
I totally agree. I think that that's absolutely right. And taking the time to explain decisions and to make sure people feel heard goes a long way in getting buy-in.
All right. Once again, folks, seriously, check out their website. There's some really good stuff there.
Yep.
ConstructiveDialogue.org. And Caroline, if you ever come up Penn State way, I'd love to know about it. You folks are doing some really good stuff that I think that's really needed. So we appreciate your time today. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it.
All right. Yes, folks, good old-fashioned. I say good old-fashioned again. Maybe I'm wrong on that. It's not old-fashioned. All right. Maybe we've never done a very good job with this, but we need to do a better job with this in politics, in college. I don't know, at the high school level, for goodness sakes, we need to do some stuff. So, again, check out the website. Really, really good. ConstructiveDialogue.org, and maybe we'll hear more about those folks later on. That's some good stuff there. All right, we're out of time, and it's still raining. Wow, that's incredible. It's been, like, raining for more than 5 minutes.
Yes, indeed.
Holy moly. Enjoy the rain. Hey, folks, we really need it. Tomorrow, we've got another busy program tomorrow. Maybe you'll head to the fair tonight and have a good time. Otherwise, have a great Wednesday.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. Hey.